Welcome to the ENR Critical Path Podcast. I'm Jeff Yoders.
I'm Eileen Cho.
And today, we have both a tech talk and an exec talk. We're very excited to welcome Roz Buick. She is a senior vice president at Oracle Construction and Engineering Solutions and a board director on construction and technology companies, including Propeller. Roz has nearly 30 years of experience in building and leading teams that digitally transform industries by automating and re-engineering customer workflows and information management. She was trained as a research scientist, taught at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg and Lincoln University in her native New Zealand. She's a decision support software genius. She led integrations across GIS databases, simulation models, operations research, and AI methods to solve complex problems for industries such as construction. Welcome, Roz.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, and you're leading a bit of a revolution there at Oracle, right? This is a time when customer data, contractor data particularly, has become really important, and there's a movement there to really help your customers understand how they can better use their data, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We believe that this next generation of platforms are what we call intelligent platforms, much more designed for data, more democratized open data across all of the applications in an organization, and definitely trying to build the right construction focused set of tools to address that. You know, we all know the platforms, the big rise of the platform, if you like, since McKinsey predicted it in 2020, it's really been happening longer than that. But, you know, we've gone through siloed tools to connected tools to now we think the next big jump in performance for the industry is really thinking through this data challenge, if you like, to try and level up with its industrial manufacturing counterparts around what they've been doing for many years, measuring a lot more of the sub-processes or micro-processes going on. And, you know, it's the old adage, what gets measured gets managed. It's not just scope, schedule, budget at a high level. It's that plus understanding what's the mechanics going on in the sub-processes. And so we really are working hard to deliver on that with our Oracle Smart Construction Platform strategy, and bringing our applications together to work together more intelligently in what data they share, how to reinvent the workflows, and also bring the data to light in our construction intelligence cloud solutions as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because Oracle has had all of this data on projects, you know, available through products such as Primavera and others, that you've had all these robust databases, and really the challenge is getting all of the customers to understand that's available, right?
Yeah, and it's pretty normal that the end user wants to solve their pain points, so they buy scheduling for schedulers and estimating for estimators. And so those improvements in performance were great. But, you know, what's now being needed at the whole enterprise digital transformation is a lot more of a holistic approach. Primavera is a fantastic, you know, product for Oracle. Many, many years of P6 and so on, schedules have been created. And so a big part of the platform strategy is how do we take that knowledge and data forward as we have a lot less people going into construction, less experienced schedulers, how do we help them get predictive intelligence on a sort of risk radar, if you like, on schedules, mining the data from the past with the P6 schedules an organization has completed. And certainly, you know, propel, if you like, do more with less humans, democratize that data. If I'm a scheduler and I need to connect in more real time with the project management team or the payments accounting team, why shouldn't they understand the status of things between all these groups? So we're really working hard to understand these workflows and connection points between the individual personas. And Oracle, you know, is a data company. And in fact, our mission is all about how to help our customers get more insights from their data. And we're really leaning in on that in the construction business as well.
I am here in Chicago, and I have been lucky enough to go up to the Innovation Lab in Deerfield, Illinois, suburban Chicago. And you know, you've really got a focus on bringing all these different parts together, you know, the robotics, drones, other things. And does the lab give you that opportunity to really work with partners and create these synergies, these APIs and things that are necessary? Because everyone isn't always in one place, you know?
Yeah, and actually that is the challenge for the industry. And big part of the background philosophy of our strategy is to help that enterprise digital journey. We want to be that trusted, secure, highly performant cloud digital data backbone platform for your core processes around whether you're an owner with asset lifecycle management or you're a delivery team with project lifecycle management. And in doing so, we also need to be really easy to connect to the wider ecosystem. And the labs that we have now, about three of them around the world so far, Chicago, Sydney, UK, we're basically using it as a test palette where we can go and partner with the local companies, because everywhere in every project in every region, there's different supply chain as well as technology players that you need to connect to. And so we believe the strategy is to be very open, very much about connecting to the third party. And as we do it, we actually learn, and with our customers can demonstrate and learn how these tools can better connect to serve the industry.
So Roz, I'm a little bit more of a neophyte in this realm. Jeff is the technology guru for ENR. But is the learning curve getting easier for those who are entering the construction industry or who are hailing from different departments or different functions of a project?
Yeah, I think, you know, the digital natives are coming into the workforce too. And I would say as we get you know, it's always evolution, revolution in any technology market that I have worked in over the years. And so there is a little bit of like, you need the hands-on experienced practitioners to work alongside the digital natives. And I think that's happening. As a company, I'm a big believer in every company that's going to survive, it needs to build a data strategy. And that they need to really understand, if we're really great at doing structural steel, how are we measuring and demonstrating we're on a path of continuous improvement towards being the best at structural steel? And therefore, you know, the data strategy that we're trying to enable with our solutions like Construction Intelligence Cloud and the whole platform set of applications is really there to try and help you build that. And I think, you know, it is... The next 5 years will be a very telling window, I suspect, of how people approach the data problem. And I think, you know, we want to be at the front of that with a platform that's super open sharing the data where and when it should be at the right time. We talk about three key functions: connect, empower, and synchronize. And the connect is pretty obvious. The industry's been talking about collaboration and connection for a long time. But empowerment's about getting the data out from whatever system to the end user that could benefit from it, whether it's the number of RFIs or the status of the schedule against progress in the field, or it's payment progress schedule against that field progress. Those kinds of combinations and permutations that typically are much harder today in traditional platforms because it's locked up in file formats and trying to move from one system to the next. And so we really want to focus on that data empowerment. And then the synchronization very much starts with the schedule, because we believe that schedule is the operational heartbeat of every project. And it's how we can build an integrated schedule from the CPM to the lean task planning or pool planning, and then to the field work and back. And certainly those kinds of connections will make everyone more multidisciplinary in the sense that they can understand what's going on from left hand to right hand on any project. We actually did a survey not so long ago about with our customers around the world, owners and delivery teams, around what is their archetype as they feel when they run a project today. They picked the military commander. They felt like they were in a battle zone, trying to work out what's happening from one side of the project to the next and feeling like it's a constant struggle. And then their preferred state that they wanted to move to happened to be an orchestral conductor of a symphony orchestra, and just the slightest move of the stick makes a ripple effect through the entire organization and project. And so it's pretty obvious that we haven't solved this hard problem yet between orchestrating and synchronizing across all of the players in a better way. And that's very much, we think, starts and stops with the data architecture and the platform and designing it to be as open as possible and as holistic as possible across all our applications in the third-party ecosystem. And of course, synchronization of what is happening one place to the next place as quickly as possible. And we're building our platform on sort of lucky we can build on Oracle's cloud infrastructure as well as a ton of core state-of-the-art technologies around AI, machine learning, a number of modeling techniques beyond that, but also data and analytics, database technologies, and the Redwood user experience. So a lot of those tools help us build things a lot faster as we re-architect here, which is great. And of course, we want to ultimately fuel the output from the platform to a digital twin. A lot of people talking about digital twins these days, and they can be everything to anyone, but we believe it's the entire digital record of the project and asset progression, an evolving digital record, if you like, that's not simply one BIM model or one snapshot in time. Because as the owner, they want to understand the entire trajectory of when they started planning it up front, conceptually, all the way through to the completion and onwards. So it never stops changing, I would say, is our idea. And we want to be able to house that in an efficient, highly secure in the Oracle Cloud. Because once you start having smart assets and not smart assets or dumb assets, I don't know if they say that, but you don't want anyone to be breaking into these digital replicas of reality, of course. We're trying to do a really good job at that core set of processes and make sure we are really easy to plug into as an ecosystem player too.
Russ, just as someone who has had your experience, you were part of the SketchUp acquisition, and I've been around construction at all, and I haven't really seen this move toward connectivity and connectedness as much in the last, in the last 5 years. It's really blossomed, and been everyone was into it. And before, as you mentioned, there were a lot of proprietary tools. It seemed like the focus was more from companies on, keeping our authoring tools separate from everything else. Do you attribute that to these digital natives we've been talking about taking over, coming into the industry, or do you think this was just a natural progression that had to happen here? Because there are so many stakeholders in construction.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. It's probably a combination of factors, right? It's also, I believe the word integration is innovation. I think a lot of things have happened. The cloud capability, the wireless, capacity, the notion of sensors on anything, the ability to do mobile as much as, you're in the office, it's much, much easier. A lot of that core technology and digital general without even bringing up construction has totally matured and enables now a lot more capabilities. Years ago with Trimble, we were doing, RTK and radio connections on job sites, and there was always mm-hmm. challenges with the connectivity around that, right, to keep machines automated and machine control and such. Nowadays, everyone expects that with the drop, you can't right. not have mm-hmm. connectivity. So I think the whole core technology industry has been about integration and the speed with which it's changing things. There's a great book by Thomas Friedman on this very topic, actually, just how much the integration side of things. And Uber is a great example because they are a perfect example of just integrating mm-hmm. IoT sensors with telematics, with the internet, with e-commerce, they've sort of integrated mm-hmm. things to make a completely different business model. And I think that's true of construction now. It's always been a little bit more traditional, perhaps how it's evolved compared to some other sectors, but now I think that's really starting to kick in for the construction engineering, architect engineering, construction markets. There'll always be a need for different persona specific software such as a SketchUp or a Tekla or a Autodesk Revit design tool for architects, because at the end of the day, they have to still do their job and get that piece of work done. But the question is, how do you then make sure that all your surrounding stakeholders upstream and downstream from you are really thought through in terms of what data they need to understand? And I think that's now at a point where we've matured the technology. We've got digital natives who are walking in going, goodness, this is hard, and I know how to solve a bit of this with digital capabilities they've learnt over the years. And I think every construction company, if they haven't already, should be hiring lots of digital natives onto projects and in the companies to help them tackle this challenge of data and really measuring what they need to measure to prove they are the most competitive at this capability, whatever that might be. And so I think it's a combination of factors, and I'm excited to be involved in an industry, having watched it now for construction, particularly more than 15 years, seeing how much it's changing, over that time period. And yeah, I think the big players in the industry, like I'd say an Oracle, their role is to be a convincing platform where you can feel confident with how you standardize your core processes as a customer. And the other key part we have to enable is to give them the flexibility then to bolt on the third-party ecosystem landscape, because it's definitely a fast-moving innovation scape. Today, there's something like 3,500 startups in our sector alone in North America. And so it's a constantly innovating, great thing to see, with things like a lot of field workflows, a lot of as-built reality capture, augmented reality, IoT and such. All those things are great areas that are critical for us to be able to tap into and then have that flexibility to connect to those, because all around the world, that's a fast-moving landscape.
Well, and it seems like there are a lot of, sorry for interrupting, but I was going to ask about manufacturing, because before there was a lot of insistence from PMs and other people in construction that every project was a one-off, and we can't do a lot of prefabrication and creating assemblies. And just in the last 3 years, I think every project I've written about has had some level of prefabrication. And you see companies like Manufacton, these processes aren't anathema to construction anymore, and that's a great sign of progress to me.
Yes, exactly. I think that connection to supply chain and how do you do that more efficiently is absolutely one of the key innovation areas. Manufacton's doing a great job. We're partnering with them as well. I think the idea is every project is unique and very bespoke, and so it'll take time to be truly fully modular. But if you could start to do elements of modular in your construction practice and start really managing that supply chain down from the typical proliferated number to some more standard. And I know things like data centers, it's a lot easier. I remember hearing about the Microsoft data center construction teams that were actually at the conference I went to. They said they sort of brought their parts down from 6,000 to 600 type numbers on a data center, because it's all about tightening up that variability before you can sort of get into better modular modes, I think. And it'll come. There's lots of great companies doing. And I think the answer there is, how do you connect the construction practice? So whether that's post-tension steel and concrete to help do high-rise buildings faster. There's a little company out of Australia working on that. And combining it with the technology to make it sort of a combined effect. And I think that's the secret sauce in modular, is bringing the technology to the practice.
Yeah, the repeatability of those data centers, we're seeing that in office towers and residential too. It's they're really taking advantage of those opportunities for even a level of automation, not just prefabrication. Yeah. But you've seen this for a while, Roz. Like, you've come from, we're writing about this back in Auckland when you were in the university, and talking about predictive analytics and things like that. So has it come to fruition?
Well, I started in different markets. I was in agricultural areas and environmental watershed management in my postdoc, sort of Chesapeake Bay. How do you bring together different algorithms, if you like, is just sort of a catch-all phrase, and technologies, and integrate them in a way that solves a particular pain point for a customer. And, you know, if I look at my whole 30 years or so of doing this, it doesn't matter what market, it's always been about what integration of capabilities to solve the problem, whether it was automated steering in agriculture, it was, you know, GPS positioning and different accuracy levels there with controls loops and hydraulic integrations to control the tractor with inertials and software in the in-cab display, or it's software in the context of Oracle where we're bringing together, you know, scheduling, project management and payment contract management and job site mobility for the delivery teams, and or it's and connecting those, of course, to the field job site ecosystem that we've talked about, or it's the owners, you know, how do they keep better proximity to their projects? I think the trend in design build now is also greatly changing the rise of the owner, if you like, being more savvy about how do they get the best output from their projects. And design build's a trending thing upwards. I think it's around 50% in North America now, but been pretty prevalent outside the US for a number of years.
Nothing but upward for the past few years, you know.
Even in the civil world.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe more in the civil world. Australia was definitely, you know, strong at P3 many years ago, and I know I went to Finland once and met customers up there who took a holiday in Australia and came back and said, we saw this thing in Australia called P3 on the civil road project, and we brought it back to Finland for a big road project. So I think it has caught on a lot with owners. That it creates more of a team. You know, teamwork is so key rather than a serial process of handoffs, which is the historical behavior.
It really does make the dream work, teamwork. Right,
Ellie? Oh, boy. cat dad humor. So, Ross, how did you migrate from agriculture eventually into construction? What was that path like?
Well, I studied an agricultural science degree to begin with. I actually grew up on a farm in New Zealand originally. But then I went on and did a PhD that got into more of computer simulation modeling, multivariate regression analysis, they call it, which was applied to plant physiology and chemistry, adjuvant chemistry. So it was funded by a chemical company, of all things. Finished the PhD, got me the ticket. I wanted to travel and I wanted to do postdoc circuit, which is this jump from one postdoctorate sort of research associate role to the next. It was kind of the thing to do, at least it was back then. So I jumped to Virginia Tech and got into a computer-based lab where I was already interested in this whole field of AI and expert systems. Mm-hmm. They called it decision support back then. So we were working with funding from NRCS, the Soil and Conservation Service, they used to call it, EPA out of Washington, D.C. We'd traipse up to D.C., do presentations, get funding, go back to Virginia Tech and do the work. And it was essentially little prototype-type software to solve these hard problems for humans and experts, which there weren't enough experts. So for the soil conservation agents, how do they go in and help farmers build like land use and watershed management plans that essentially help them get their government subsidy payments under the Farm Act? And we did really well. That system we built, that one in particular, they took it national across the whole country, and we were integrating early GIS with simulation models, with operations research techniques, with constraint-based algorithms, and building software that could help these agents effectively do their job in a more consistent way with each farmer and put these plans together. There was a nutrient management one and so on. And over, I guess after a few years, I went back to New Zealand, tried to get that research area going. It was a lot less funding available. And I got a few things going there, but decided to jump to the dark side and worked as a product manager for Trimble. And they were hiring for the agriculture business. And the opening challenge was, can we sell GPS to farmers, in about 1996? And so we put together from zero to hero. We put it, like five of us really struggled, and we got our products going where we built effectively guidance solutions in the cab that then helped us tie in eventually automated steering, but then also seed fertilizer chemical control off that central computer in the cab. And that became a huge business for Trimble, still is, and one of the five big businesses for them. Total startup ride inside of a big corporation, actually, and beg, borrow, steal whatever technology we could get. But we eventually came up and built a really great business there. And a huge part of that was integration, again, of capabilities and technologies. And we sold through CNH Global, Case New Holland, Tractor, as well as into their factory and their after sales parts stores. And then they offered me the general manager job of construction, heavy civil construction, which was a different business at Trimble, but it was all about machine control.
Yeah.
And how to control dozers, motor graders, excavators, eventually pavers and milling machines and all sorts, compactors. So we had two JVs with Caterpillar, worked closely. One was building the on-machine technology and another was around productivity and equipment maintenance. Vision Link, you may have heard of, or Product Link.
We write about it, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So I worked on that for a number of years, and then I got asked to help take over the buildings franchise, which was a lot of acquisitions that Trimble had made over about 5-6 years while I was doing the civil job. And we had five general managers, and inside of that I was overseeing Tekla, SketchUp Brands, Prologue, you may have heard of, Meridian, and ProLiance, Manhattan Systems, which was all about real estate, integrated workplace management, and then some other ones. Oh, Connect, which is a big part of Trimble's collaboration strategy, and I think MEP business, which was more targeted to modeling and estimating, design and estimating. And doing the work for subcontractors and MEP, mechanical, electrical, plumbing. So that was my Trimble journey. And yeah, over the years, I mean, even with Oracle now, still it's very much about how do we integrate and connect, understanding the customer pain, how do we really integrate and re-engineer these workflows to be better for each persona as well as even executive management now, because the enterprise digital shift, I think, is the next big 5 years ahead. It's easy to let one project pick up five different tech products and run their project off that, but it's a lot more of a challenge to get a really enterprise-wide digital strategy in place. And we're really trying to help customers walk through that by leading with the data journey, and of course the applications they've learned to trust and believe in from Oracle. So yeah, that's kind of my whole journey. And
it's interesting that we were talking about manufacturing and sort of where they are in the process of, you know, using open data and standards earlier, and really the equipment people are a bit ahead too. I mean, everyone is ahead of their customers in construction kind of way, because agriculture, as you were mentioning, went through that big shift, and you know, all the manufacturers of equipment, John Deere, Caterpillar, Case New Holland, have, you know, that's been, you know, something you helped bring them along through, over the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's been, fantastic opportunities and been lucky to work with some amazing people and engineers that are brilliant. And so it's been a really great journey. But yeah, it's been fun to see, you know, that 10-year-ish, I'll call it, transformation of different markets. It's always evolving even beyond that. But it's just that sort of big push I've seen, and takes a 10-year push. And yeah, I think the manufacturing sector was lucky that they could control their supply chain, because they could control their processes in one factory, make carbon copies of that factory as they went around the world. But in construction, it's a lot more bespoke, just the design of what you're building. You know, it's not a cell phone. And so you've got to immediately try to take a balancing act of standardization versus digitization and centralizing your supply chain. And I think that's kind of what we're striving for with this Oracle Smart Construction Platform, is how to get that balance right to get core processes that everybody knows they must do and have to do to help run these projects, but make them more connected, empowered, and synchronized, and then make ourselves the best at integrating to the third-party ecosystem, leveraging all that we learn off our labs, and help customers really walk through this data journey. It sounds scary, and you know, maybe it takes some people want to retire before they have to deal with some of these things, but I think at the end of the day, putting a real construction flavor on it is important, because we understand what things you track when you're running projects, how many RFIs are happening in the first month of the project against last project, how much data volume are you seeing fly between participants on a project. What's the risk radar that jumps out we've got on CIC Advisor for schedule and or safety, quality, productivity? So those things are really, I think, with a construction flavor, it's a lot easier than if you go off and shop for Tableau or some generic BI tool,
right?
And try to stitch that together yourself.
Yeah, I was talking with our mutual friend, Birchin Kapanolu, from the Oracle Lab up there in Deerfield, and you know, we had a whole LinkedIn Live about AI, and the difficulty you run into with AI is people bring their biases to it, and we don't want to move forward in construction with, okay, you know, and when I say biases, I mean this particular type of concrete is good and this one isn't, and things that just sort of came along, you know, with, you know, siloed work processes, and you know, you can weed those out in several ways using synthetic data or other ways, but we want to get better. We want this to improve our processes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, when you compare it to 90%+ of all data on a project gets left behind, to, hey, can we take that knowledge and intelligence forward to help us be more predictive on the next project? I think that's a really, really key first move. And yes, you're right. It may be that our old projects 20 years ago were not managed as well as they are in the last 10 years or something. So it is important that the customers engaged around understanding the risks and then being able to drill into the risk and say, okay, what is the real root cause of the delay on the schedule? Which our systems can let you do that. It finds it's the structural steel guy, I keep using, or the concrete guy, or the contract MEP contractor. And that helps, I think, people better understand their own data that they haven't even been looking at.
No, they haven't looked at it even. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So, Roz, and you know, you're talking about the eventual evolution of the construction industry into, you know, this space where manufacturing and agriculture apparently have already been for a while. How much further does construction as an industry have to go? Like, are we still laggards?
Well, we always see that graph, don't we, that everyone puts up that says we are laggards.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, thanks, McKinsey.
Yeah. But I do think it's, you know, hard to put an endpoint on it. The technology and the universe will continually evolve. But I think the next 5 years, my prediction is the data strategy is so foundational to know. You know, I love the construction money ball analogy that I throw out occasionally. North America gets that. Baseball, you know.
Baseball, the Oakland A's.
Yeah, and the Billy Bean story, yeah, where he brought in a Harvard mathematics wizard and suddenly understood baseball at a whole deeper level. And I think that's what the industry has to really get good at. And we need to make the tools easy to adopt and more tailored for construction to help walk people through that. And at the same time, thinking through this balancing act of standardization of process to be able to digitize it easily but flexibly connect to the innovation frontier of startups and so, such. So I think the next 5 years are really critical, and if senior executives aren't thinking about this problem of how to get more access to data in their organization across all their projects and how do they use that going forward, it'll sort, as we say in New Zealand, the sheep from the goats. Which means, you know, the top players will stand out once they can get a command of this, I think.
Which is superior, the sheep or the goat?
Well, I guess we have more sheep than goats left, so it'll be sheep.
I myself grew up on a cattle farm, so it would always be like, you know, the steers versus the heifers.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pulled Herefords, we Yoders has had, but it's good to meet, you know, another person who grew up on a farm, and you know, you learn a lot of stuff doing that.
And now you're both chores. Tech bros.
Yeah,
from farm to tech.
Practical people, farm people, I think. I think, you know, it'll probably continue, though. 5 years is not the end point or anything.
No.
It's a constant evolution. Even if you look at industrial manufacturing, the automobile sector, for example, is now doing a lot more with robotics and trying to fully automate everything. Not that they weren't doing robotics, but the micro precision of things increasingly and scanning of factory processing lines to build robotic systems fully across. I mean, it's just going to keep evolving, I think, in construction too. And yeah, we haven't even talked about these robots that build and weld and do all sorts of things.
Tie rebar.
Yeah,
the pace I am shocked by, like just seeing like the pace of technology, innovation, and construction. And, you know, we say like in 2005 and when, you know, BIM was kind of a new thing, that was a good pace. It has accelerated so much. And, you know, you see the predictive analytics and there's already technologies to make the predictions better and, you know, pick out problems on sites and do things that weren't even done before.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think the other big point I probably didn't mention much about, but I think it's important from an Oracle perspective is, you know, I'm super impressed having moved to Oracle at their level of rigor and focus on data security. And I think that's a really important consideration too, as people walk into this cloud world where we're empowering more broadly because of the, you know, Wi-Fi and cloud capabilities. But it's also incredibly important that security becomes sort of an obsession. Because your data is, you know, up in the cloud. And as a company like Oracle, we have to be making sure it's always on because we're now a service provider, not just a software vendor with on-prem software. So we are helping the industry stay uptime, you know, not just downtime's a bad thing, right, in construction. So we as a company are spending a lot of energy around that. We actually have our first product coming due for a FedRAMP IL4, which is a high level of certification on compliance to security for the Department of Defense, as of this month, I believe, with Aconex. So we're super excited about that and continuing to do a lot of work around that high security piece.
There has never been a contractor who doesn't want his risk reduced, you know?
Yeah.
Or owner.
Or owner, yeah.
No,
yeah,
nobody
that's
likes
right.
the risk.
Yeah. So good.
Well, thank you, Roz, for being our guest. This was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, great talking with you today about technology, the farm, all kinds of things.
The farm.
Oh, I know. We've been right around the world. I used to joke, I'm turning the farm green, well, the planet green, now I'm turning it into concrete.
Green so concrete.
I got a yin and a yang out of all of this career.
You're right. Balance, right?
Yeah, but thanks a lot for the opportunity. Really great chatting with you both, Jeff and Eileen.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for joining us. This has been the ENR Critical Path Podcast and Exec Talk. I'm Jeff Yoders.
And I'm Eileen Cho. To hear other podcasts, please go to enr.com/podcasts, or you can follow us on Apple or Spotify.